What I have on my mind and on my heart this evening is something that is probably a place to start for maybe other thoughts, other messages in the future. So I'd like to throw a little foundation. Sometimes I get to thinking about something and meditating on it, and as I think about it, I want to make sure that I build the right foundation and the right starting place. And in doing that, sometimes things get bigger and bigger, and a lot of times it's a lot bigger than I can really handle. So we ask the Lord to help us with it. We have an account in the 15th chapter of Acts that's probably one of the, if not the first, it's one of the first accounts of having a minister's meeting that there ever was. And I want us to consider the context of it and ask the Lord to help us know how to apply it in our own mind. And I want to write a word up here on the board for us tonight. Now, a lot of times, if somebody says the church has standards, that can make some people be real nervous, and that can cause us to be apprehensive of where it might go. And I'm not going to get into very many details or maybe any too much specifics tonight, but I'd like for us to consider a foundational premise, something that we can build on with the help of the Lord. So, beginning in the first verse of the 15th chapter of Acts, it says, certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. So they had something specific in mind, and it doesn't say here, but the previous chapter is talking about the apostle Paul, and I believe Barnabas was with him. They were taking the gospel to the Gentiles, and they had really accepted the truth. They'd accepted Christ. They had become a body of believers. And those that came, we say, y'all come down to see us, and we might be going north instead of south. So that's what happened here. They came from Judea, which would have been much further south than most of Paul's journeys, up into Antioch, and that way it was all north and northwest from where Jerusalem was. But they came from Judea. And notice it says, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren. And I believe the ones that came were Jewish. They were Jews, but they had accepted Christ too. And they came and they had some standards. They had something that they wanted to communicate to the Gentiles. And they said, if you're not circumcised after the order of Moses, you can't be saved. And sometimes we can have it in our head and in our mind that there's a standard that if someone doesn't hold the same standard that I hold, that they can't be saved. And I'm not here to debate that tonight. I want us to know that that's a very real. I can't believe that they did or did not do whatever it is. I just don't see how they can be saved. So it immediately, if we begin to read here, it says in verse 2, When, therefore, Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem and to the apostles and elders about this question. So we need to get on the same page. And they said, let's go to Jerusalem. There's others there. There was still a number of the maybe the original apostles and those that had been converted on the day of Pentecost. There was quite a body of believers there. So it says, and being brought on their way by the church, they passed, they mentioned several places they had gone. And in verse 5, it says, but there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Now, one of the reasons that they felt so strongly about this was that those that were circumcised were obligated to keep the whole law. This was a thing that I don't know what to use as an example, but if you see a certain type of uniform on a person, you have an expectation about them, about their behavior, about their capabilities. You have a level of respect for them because of maybe how they're dressed. And this is something specifically, I'm not talking about religious things, I'm just talking about out in the world. If you see a pilot, there's a uniform. They have a hat that's distinct that they wear. A lot of times they have maybe some type of medallion or something on their jacket. You don't see a pilot getting on the airplane to fly a commercial plane. You don't see them getting on with jeans and a cowboy hat and boots on. That's not the way they dress. And you don't have to worry when you're getting on. I wonder which one of these is the pilot. He's standing right there by the door. He's standing erect. He's greeting people and maybe saying, welcome aboard American Airlines or Southwest or whoever it is. There is something about it. When you pass this person, you know that's the pilot. I know he looks like he's capable of flying an airplane. I mean, I don't know nothing about flying an airplane, but anyway, we make a judgment on that. We have an expectation because of what the appearance is. And there was an expectation set that if a person was circumcised, that they were expected to keep the whole law. And that was all of the ordinances and the abstinences and the sacrifice, all of those things, they were expected to keep that. And it was like it was something that was very important, okay, to them. So in verse 6, he says, and the apostles and the elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And you don't remember what he was referring to. He's referring to the situation where he had the vision of the unclean animals let down from the heavens, and he heard a voice telling him to rise and to kill and eat. And he said, oh no, those are unclean. Those aren't, they would cause me to transgress the law, the thing that I'm obligated because I'm a Jew and because I've been circumcised and I'm of that caliber. I don't do those things. I don't eat pork and I don't eat whatever it is that was unclean in there. But God spoke to him that, and he was made to understand that he was talking about Gentiles. And while he was still kind of in the trance or dream or whatever it was, there was a man that came and knocked at the gate. And Peter already had the answer. He knew he was supposed to go with him, and he went down to Cornelius's house. And remember, they not only embraced that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, but the Holy Spirit was manifested to them at that place. So Peter's, that's what he's referring to here. And he said, "And God," verse 8, "which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God, and put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we are able to bear?" Well, there was a lot of good intent behind the law. I don't believe there was error in the law. I believe that God's purpose was pure. It was plenty capable of producing the end result that God wanted it to produce. It was not like the law was flawed and God made a mistake, okay? But there was a lot of regulations. And it was regulations on the outer man. It was rituals to go through. It was purifications that went through whether you had needed it or not, so to speak. So I'm thinking about tonight the importance of standards. And it's hard for us to fathom what it was like before what we call the Industrial Revolution. We take it for granted that we can go down and not only can we buy an original equipment manufactured part to repair something on our whatever, it could be from our washing machine to our automobile or whatever. We are so, it's just, we take it for granted. But there was a time that that was not what was available. There were blacksmiths and there were carpenters. And there were no, the carpenters took wood and shaped it and fitted it and made something out of it. There were no 2x4s, 92 5/8 to go and buy and there to make a stud wall. There were no replacement gaskets and bolts and parts for machinery. You went to the blacksmith and you melted something down and you beat it around and maybe threaded it and filed it and whatever to make a part. That's the way it happened. That's the way it was. And until the early 1900s, and even up into the probably, maybe 1910 to maybe 1920 almost, standardized parts and interchangeable parts was a very novel idea. You had a basic idea of what a new car was supposed to look like, and the group of us in here might have worked together to make a car. It might take us 6 months to make one, and it might put whatever nameplate on it. But every one of them that came down the assembly line, there was no assembly line, but every one of them we produced, we hammered and tapped and filed and whittled and drilled and whatever we did to make it. And when we got ready to bolt the fender on, somebody held it up while somebody else drilled a hole. And there was no pre-punched holes. There was no pre-tapped holes. You did that as you went along. So that's totally foreign to us. I'm used to buying not just OE parts, but all kinds of other brands of replacement parts. Will this fit? Will this interchange? That's a question we have today, and that was not there. Not so long ago, 150 years ago, interchangeable parts was almost non-existent. You bought something, and then you had to make it fit before you could make your machine go again, whether it was a steam locomotive or an automobile. So, there's something called a standard, and this is the measurements. and this is how it's going to be made, and this is the size of the hole, and this is the size of the threads, and this is the length of the bolt, and this is how we do it. So I have a set of micrometers, and in every one of them that don't start out with zero, there's a standard in there. It's a little piece of metal that's precision ground to specific length, and I can take that and check the accuracy of my micrometer to verify that it is measuring on tolerance. And I can measure something, and then I can compare it to specification. So it's a standard, all right? So these men came down from Judea. They came from Jerusalem. They came to the Gentiles, and they said, y'all are not doing this right. You need, this is the standard that you need to live by. So they wanted to bind circumcision on them, and therefore they felt like if they did that, that the whole law would be followed to a T. That was their objective. They accepted Christ, but they wanted this old law upheld. So there was a lot of discussion, apparently, and we begin reading now maybe about verse 13. Paul and Barnabas had explained to them what they had witnessed as far as miracles and people making changes in their life. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, "Men and brethren, hearken unto me." So James seemed to be the one that kind of got things back on track. He said, "Simeon," and who's he talking about there? He's talking about Peter. He said, "Peter hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name, and to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, 'After this I will return and build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men," that's the Gentiles, "might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which are from among the Gentiles, are turned to God." So he says, here's the thing. The last thing we want to do is set a standard, number one, arbitrarily or incorrectly. If we set it arbitrarily, it's a man's standard. If we set it incorrectly, we've distorted what the Bible intended. So he says here, "But that we write unto them that they abstain from the pollution of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day." So there were Jews that had been dispersed and displaced and relocated all across the Gentile nations and regions, and they had a synagogue, and they taught the law of Moses to some extent. It might have been, it was called Judaism by this time, and it was maybe somewhat distorted, probably to a great extent, but there was the law. They taught about being circumcised and all that, but he said there is something that we need to be careful of here. They need to realize that if they are going to be a Christian, there is something that they have to put a real barrier between them and idolatry. They have to set some standards here. So we can look back in the scripture and we can say, well, we can use the Ten Commandments and determine whether something is just plain old sin or not. Adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, these are just plain bold-faced sins. But we all know that the church, from way back here, there's been some standards that's been established. And I believe today we would be very foolish if we said the church doesn't really have any standards. I believe the church does have standards. I believe that the church standards and Bible standards ought to be the same. It should be supported. If we're going to have a standard, then in my feeble attempts, I'll try to draw a little picture. A micrometer is basically an instrument that looks kind of like a big C clamp, if you know what that is. And on this end, it has a spindle that comes out. And over here on this side, it has something called a thimble. And it has marks here. And it has marks here. And you turn this and thread this in and out, and the standard is the piece that you put in the middle. It's a round piece of metal, a specific length. It might be 1 inch. This might be a 1 inch standard. And this might be a 1 to 2 inch micrometer. And you would put that in there and thread it down. And when you threaded it down to where the anvil here and this spindle touch that standard, there ought to be a zero here lined up with basically a zero here. That's how you know if it's in calibration. So it's not something that's arbitrary. I don't have a 1 inch standard that's different than somebody else that has a 1 inch standard. My standard has to be supported by the doctrine that's taught in the Word. It has to be something that's substantiated by principle and letter, or at the very minimum, the principle that's in the Scripture. We're not going to find in the Scripture that we shouldn't. I don't believe that it says anywhere in there, thou shalt not go to the casino. It don't say that. But there is a principle that's in there that we could establish a scenario, a standard about our mode of conduct, and use that to determine whether a place that we would go would be acceptable or not. All right? So that's the thing that I want us to try to get a little bit of a establishment here tonight, is I want us to realize that they had this ministers meeting, if you will. They came and the apostles and all worked together on this. And it seems that they were able to come to the conclusion that not only, I like the way they handled it too. They didn't just write something down and hand it back. And they sent some of those that were there when the decision was made, went back. And in love and in compassion, they communicated that to those Gentiles. You can read the rest of the chapter and validate what I'm saying. But they went back and they didn't just stand up and lecture to them. They spent some time with them. And they helped them to understand, this is what we're talking about. This is the things that's important. This is the standard that we ought to live by. So may the Lord help us as we go forward, not only with this thought, but in our life. Realize that if we're going to make something, if we're going to build something materially that is usable, I like the idea that we can take a tape measure and we can measure something that we want to build a shed for, and we can go to our house and build a shed that it'll fit in without having that there. And when we bring it home, it'll fit. And it's because we have a tape measure. I like the idea that my brother-in-law is a draftsman, and one of his passions and areas of expertise is to make sure that the drawings he hands out, he hands drawings to fabricators, and fabricators drill holes and weld brackets, and when they bring all those pieces together, those holes are supposed to line up, and you're supposed to be able to put a bolt in it, and you're supposed to be able to build whatever structure or staircase. He does a lot of stairs, I think, in his life, but that's something that is supposed to come together, and it's supposed to work. Well, I like that. I like that somebody could take measurements and in my house, and they can go to their cabinet shop and build cabinets and bring them back, and they actually fit, and they're not out there with a sledgehammer and a file and stuff trying to make them fit in my house. And we need some type of standards to help us know, to give us some guides. We need to be able to, so that when we come to the judgment day, when we come and meet others that are passionate about following Christ, we find out, well, that's, the Lord showed me the same thing. What is that? There's a standard there. And the Lord showed you something, and he showed me something, and there's a sense, there's a resonance there. That means that, I believe it means that it's a godly standard. So Lord, help us to not only want to discover those, but help identify them and support them, and not say, well, you know, whatever you feel good, you know, that's all that's important. No, there's more than that. The boys used to have a little book talked about, the main character was called Adam Raccoon, and he was he was going to make a flying machine, and he disregarded his instructions and listened to somebody else, and he just put whatever part that he thought would fit, and when he got it together, it didn't work. And the wise person came along, I don't remember what his name was, and helped him to realize that if he would have followed the instructions and put it together right, it would have been a safe thing to operate. And I believe we can safely trust biblical standards. We can safely trust things that the Scripture and the principles. There's a lot of principle in that one verse where he says, but this is the 20th verse, 15th chapter of Acts. He says, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollution of idols. There's probably three or four messages in that phrase right there. That they abstain from the pollution of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. Lord, help us to get the standards that's there. Help us to know how to apply them in our hearts, in our lives, and allow it to build something in us that's interchangeable with others that are sincere and really want to please the Lord. I want to be found acceptable. I don't want to get to the end of the way and find that my parts don't fit. The last thing I want to do is find out that I didn't have my holes drilled in the right place. I want to be able to hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You pray for me.